22 under par total, equal lowest score in relation to par in championship history, joining Nick O'Hoon and Peter Lonnard. 262 four-round total, lowest in championship history. Previous record was Peter Lonnard and Nick O'Hoon. And 22 years, 1 month, 18 days, youngest winner in the history of the Australian PGA Stroke Play Championship, previously held by David Howell in 1998, and is the youngest winner in championship history since Alan Murray in 1961. Fair to say, our man Jed Morgan had a weekend. He joins us. Good morning, Jed.
How you doing, boys?
We're going all right. That's a fair little honour roll you've joined, or you've taken, you've surpassed in the last couple of days. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, it's pretty well sunk in now. I'm just sitting here having a coffee actually this morning, and it's a pretty sick thing to have against my name. Lucky enough, I was playing at my home track, but still played some awesome golf, which is cool.
Now, coffee this morning. What was going on yesterday morning?
I was trying not to vomit. That's pretty much what I was doing. I woke up. I mean, we didn't stop till about 1:30 that night, and got up about, I don't know, 4:30 because my girlfriend was vomiting everywhere. So, and I got up and I was like, oh, bugger it. I may as well just get up and get into it. And yeah, so I gave a few people a call that I missed calls from, and I guess started the formality.
Now, I must confess, Jed, I was very impressed with what you did until I found out that you didn't even, sort of from a handicap perspective, you didn't even get 36 Stableford points over the 4 days.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that impressive at all, really.
So on the last day, I wouldn't have got 36, but I reckon I got 38 on the second day. I got 36 on the first day, and I got 36 on the third day, so not too bad.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have got golf balls, though, let's be honest, in the local comp.
I don't know if the new tee's there at Archie, I reckon I would have.
So take us through that whole thing. I'm sort of obviously joking, but to play your home course in such a big event, the Australian PGA Championship, how much of an advantage was that for you over some of the other members of the field?
Usually playing your home track, I think it's just the comfort of knowing kind of every shot, both good and bad, there's that there, and then I don't know if you guys have played RQ or whatever, but the greens are just quite severe around there. And knowing exactly where the pins are and then where exactly you kind of want to putt from, I think, that was just a lucky thing that I had on my side. One of the other boys, Jake McLeod, obviously is a member there as well, and he didn't play his best, but he still finished top 10 quite easily because, it's just like it's home track advantage. You just kind of... Yeah, you just have that little bit more comfort there, and I was lucky to have a bunch of members and my family there as well, so just made everything a lot more real for me.
So you've won by 11 shots, which is extraordinary, as half mentioned, and history-making.
Yeah.
Going into the week, did you think you could win? I must say, I had a mate of mine that did very well out of you winning. He backed you. Did you think you were a winning chance going into the week?
Funny that there's a few people that come up to me after and told me how much money they had on me. Scary to think. I'm lucky I didn't know anything about any of it, but no, I don't know. Winning is obviously always a possibility, but you just never know with golf. You never know what's around the corner. And I've been playing pretty good. I didn't know if I was in the form to be able to hold it down the stretch. And I was just fortunate enough that I was so focused, and once I put those first two rounds together, I didn't want to look back once. So, I mean, I did not expect to win. I dreamt of it. I dreamt of everything that happened to happen, and it was all I wanted to do was have a huge celebration after. That's kind of what I love about winning is the celebration with everybody. I don't know if you ever really expect to win. I've never, ever expected to win anyway.
So what, with that in mind, what's it like when you lead after round two and round three and you're going into the final round? How does that sit with you? Do you sleep? Are you stressed or are you calm?
Lucky it was pretty hot, so everything I was given on the golf course, it was just taken out of me, and I was able to sleep pretty well or be in bed for enough time that, I was able to sneak some hours of sleep in. I was in all sorts from Saturday and Sunday, pretty sick. feeling like I needed to vomit pretty much. I was struggling to eat. It was tough. It was all worth it, but it was bloody tough. I turned my phone off for 3 days pretty much, and I just said, just be like, be present for this, I guess, next 2 days. It's going to be pretty hard.
Well, it's a good system. Worked pretty well for you. So with all that being done, being said, after the last 9 holes, you've got a comfortable lead. It's basically yours. We talk about being 10 goals up in a grand final with 10 minutes to play and enjoying the end of it. Did you get a chance to enjoy it?
I did. I mean, once I hit the green, I made a putt on 13 for a birdie, and I kind of eased a little bit of the pressure on myself. But so many bad things have happened to good players in the past, and I was just like, I really don't want that to happen to me. So I didn't like want to let my guard down. So when I made a putt on 13 and 15, that was pretty sick. And then I hit the ground on 17, and I was told I had 11 shots at that point. So yeah, at that point, I was just like, all right, just soak it up, going down this last hole. And I hit the ground on 18, did the long walk with the putter, and yeah, the rest is bloody history.
fantastic. Jed, now I want you to talk to me about the relationship, the mentorship that you've got with Ricky Ponting, and this all comes about through the Australian Sport Hall of Fame, and we've had many examples, and we've had conversations on this program about the mentorship program. What does Ricky do for you, and how has he potentially helped your game in a short period of time?
Ricky's my mentor, and I've also got Graham Lloyd. He's an ex-baseballer for obviously Major League Baseball. So he was a pitcher, and he's stepped in as well to that role, and they've just both kind of opened up what it's like, I guess, in professional sport and handling both success and failure, mainly failure, because when it's low, I think you think it's kind of 3 or 4 times as low as what it actually is. They've taught me, I guess, just what it's like to experience everything that you experience, both good and bad, often on the field. So it's been sick.
So how does it happen, say, with Ricky? Do you just go and have a round of golf with him, and he gets sort of tips off you, and then you get tips off him, or is it more something over phone calls or catching out for coffee? How does it actually unfold?
Yeah, so it started obviously via Zoom because we weren't allowed to travel interstate, and just built that relationship on a verbal level, I guess. And then eventually I got the chance to go and meet him and play some golf with him because he's obviously a keen golfer himself. And yeah, I mean, I charged him about $100 an hour for my lesson. Nah, it was, we just played a few rounds of golf in Melbourne and hung out, had some dinner, had some coffees, and I guess everything you're supposed to do with someone who's supposed to be mentoring you. And I just tried to be as normal as possible for him.
Well, that's a great opportunity to learn from some of the best in the business there. That's a great system. What about what it means for you, Jed, in terms of obviously the cash in the bank's pretty handy, I'm sure, eases some pain and some stress, but in terms of opportunity, what does it mean?
So there's some pathways that have now opened up in Europe with the DP World Tour and potentially maybe a couple in the US. So I'm still yet to find it all out and get all the legitimate things that's come of this, I guess. And still, build a schedule for the rest of the year. But my schedule this year, I'll just basically stay in Australia till May, hopefully, and then build it from June onwards. So I couldn't have scripted a better start to my year. And my team are pretty happy for me, and so are my family. So let's just see where I end up playing, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity coming your way. And when you've turned pro, did you have a little vision of what it might look like and how long it might take you to get a win? And what does this do to the calendar now, to your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it changes my expectations. I won a pretty decent amateur tournament a couple of years ago, and I think it just changes your perspective on being able to win, I think, because it's such a big feat, and it just doesn't happen very often, unless you're Tiger Woods or whatnot, but especially in golf, it just doesn't happen that often. And I think it just changes my perspective on being able to close out a 4-round tournament with all that. I guess it was all support, but there was also like a lot of expectation that I was going to win. So, I'm just so proud of myself and the work I've done with my team that we're just able to figure out a bit of a method to handle like what I was feeling and just, yeah, run away with it, which is so sick.
We're talking to Jed Morgan, who won the PGA Championship on Sunday. Jed, one final one from me. I'm interested in who you look up to, who your sort of, not so much idols, but just golfers that you look up to and try and emulate. Because I know growing up, half and I the same age, it was all about Greg Norman. That was who it was. But now there are so many successful Australians. Some are not much older than you, the likes of Cam Davis and Lucas Herbert. Are they the ones that you look up to, or are they, is it a Mark Leishman? Is it a Cam Smith? I mean, there's so many of them that you can sort of look and potentially map out a similar sort of career to what they've succeeded with only in recent times.
Yeah, those boys, I was fortunate enough to actually get to know a couple of Aussie boys, younger Aussie boys like Herbert and Curtis Luck and Cameron.
Yep.
Well, I don't know Cameron Davis just yet, but Ryan Ruffles and stuff like that. And I've obviously got a pretty decent relationship going with Cam as well. So I look up to all of them all for their own different reasons, I think. And they've all got their own attributes about them that make them successful, whether it could just be from a pure business standpoint or pure ability standpoint. And I just try and take things from everybody, I think, and just try and be a sponge with it all, because you never know who you're going to come across and what you might actually learn, which, yeah, you just got to always be open to it, I think.
That's a good attitude to have. And do you get a chance to spoil yourself now? Is there a little treat coming your way after the win?
Yeah, I'm thinking of buying a king-size bed. I've been wanting a bloody bigger bed. So I reckon I'm going to go on and get one of those bad boys.
Yeah, just don't get one of those ones in the boxes. My wife ordered one of them before Christmas, and they're no good.
They reckon Sleeping Duck's pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, well, don't go one of those Emma beds. They're too hard.
Well, they come out and they smash in the face when you unwrap it in the box. It's real drama. You don't need that. You're on a high. You don't need that to drag you back down. But amazing weekend for you. Amazing week for you at the Australian PGA. Well done to you, Jed. Great result for you. Great result for golf in Australia, I reckon. And hopefully the first of many victories for you on tour. We'll be following your progress with great interest.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you putting me on this morning.
Good
on
Don't you. Change, Jed. Keep being you. It's fantastic.
Cheers, guys.
Good stuff. Jed Morgan, the Australian PGA winner.